it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, now it's hockey season. We are back inside Lecom Harbor Center.
Are you cold yet?
Yes, and it's the anniversary of me not hearing well, feeling well, and guess what? We're 1 year in, and it's still going
still
poorly.
Going on. I, like, walked into the building feeling I'm a little warm today. I mean, it's nice outside. The sun was out, and then I got into the building. I'm like...
And we wore the same alumni Callaway golf thing, yeah.
That's good.
Well, mine doesn't fit particularly well, so I had to cover it with a coat. So
it looks good. Good color combination. But, yes, we do have... Well, there was hockey played last night here at Lake Harbor 8-2 Center.
8-2 Devils win over Columbus. They erupted for four in the third to blow open a 4-2 game, and it was a night for the tryouts, the undrafted. Three of them with three-point nights for the Devils.
Fights and physicality and a few hundred peoples. A few hundred people showing up to watch the Columbus and New Jersey prospect, which was great.
And how many people?
Peoples?
That came through the doors thought that by the time they left, they would be talking about Alexander Georgiev as a Buffalo Sabre.
Yeah, no, that was not on the bingo card, and obviously that is the big news. Late last night, early this morning, that the Sabres signed Alexander Georgiev to a one-year contract, less than $900,000, so it's like close to league minimum. But it's a insurance policy right now. And what was it an insurance policy for? Last night we were just kind of wondering, like, why did they do this? Is there a concern with one of their goalies, Luukkonen, Lyon, Levi, whatnot? And reports this morning, you know, obviously with not from the Sabres directly, but from people around the league saying that Luukkonen has a tweak. Mm-hmm. He showed up to camp and has a tweak, so they don't know what the timeline is going to be for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen just yet. So instead of kind of throwing everything into a rush with the plan, which, in my opinion, was to probably have Levi start in Rochester, but to see what happens in camp. But you need the numbers. You need the goalie numbers. So they have signed Alexander Georgiev to a one-year deal, and just as an insurance policy, moving forward and seeing what happens with Luukkonen.
So you don't want to go much farther than that at this point?
I can go much farther. Well, I can go farther, but it would be all speculation and all kind of projecting, not knowing what will happen.
Okay, so we don't know, obviously, the extent of the tweak or a time frame that would result in Luukkonen not being available. But let's just assume... If Lukanen's not participating at the start of camp.
Yes.
Who has the best chance to emerge as the opening night starter? I know, this is a long ways off. But if they went to the extent this quickly to get somebody in, right? To have somebody here.
That's who has over 300, that's going to be ready.
Who has over 300 games of NHL experience.
Yes.
And clearly something to prove. After the disappointment for him in two markets last year of Colorado and San Jose. But he's experienced. He's only a year removed from being the winningest goalie in the NHL over a span of two seasons. And you have Alex Lyon and you have Devon Levi. Like, I don't think this is an unreal... Like, it may be unnecessary to ask this because...
So if it was me, Duffer, the way that I see it is that... we've talked about it all summer long, and I think I'm going to stick to my plan, is that I believe Devon Levi is Rochester-bound this season. Unless something crazy happened in preseason that he was heads and shoulders above everybody else. Mm-hmm. I would think he's Rochester-bound. This is where the development comes in. That, you know, there's two mindsets. there is a, you know, a result kind of driven mindset, and that's at the NHL level. And there's the development mindset, which Levi still fits into the development mindset that needs to happen through the AHL, through being maybe the backup at the NHL level, and you're still developing. But I believe that if you were to put me on the spot right now and said, your goalie's available for the Rangers Thursday, October 9th at 7 o'clock, home opener will be Lion, Georgiev, Levi, I would say my starter would be Alex Georgiev out of that. And I've been one that has been so critical of Georgiev over the last few years. Like, I look at him play and I'm like, he's off his angle. Mm-hmm. He missed it with a glove. Like, did he track the puck? Like, but I still look at him being, he was the starting goaltender of the Colorado Avalanche 12 months ago mm-hmm. when the season started.
Yep.
And this was a Colorado Avalanche team that was a Stanley Cup hopeful mm-hmm. with Georgiev in that. Now, a lot of things could
happen. Did you mention he's a former Ranger?
He is a former Ranger.
I mean, that's a nice storyline on opening night.
And he was the one that was set to take over after Lundqvist was done with the Rangers. Now, Igor Shesterkin had a different story to tell. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could also play out here, that something would happen that all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, Levi is above and beyond. Lion is above and beyond, better than everybody else. There's my starter. But if Luukkonen isn't going to be ready, and right now I'm looking at the experience of those guys and the possibility, I think Georgiev has a really strong shot of being that guy opening night.
Well, we'll hear from head coach of the Amerks, Michael Leone, coming up. Noah Ostlund later in the show as well here on Sabres Live. As you can tell, things have gotten a little quiet. It's like we've gone from Prospects Challenge to the Masters all in the span of about 5 minutes. It became so quiet here in the building. But
they're fixing the divots on the ice.
Are they? Yes. Well, they were probably all in the jacket's end after the way it went last night for the 8-2 romp by the Devils to
yes.
open up the Prospects Challenge. So the reason that's mildly interesting, I mean, look, we're focused on the Sabres 24/7, mm-hmm. but they are facing the Devils tonight. So
yes.
it's back-to-back for them. to kick off the tournament.
And
they're super confident after erupting for 8. See how ridiculous all of this can sound sometimes when you take it out of context.
I had a great conversation with Manny Lagacy this morning.
Oh.
He is with the Devils, right? And so I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys played last night. You're playing today. And then they don't play tomorrow. They play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I'll get you guys home early. Right, you don't have to stay until Monday. He goes, could we play tomorrow so we get home tomorrow night? So, you know, it's great, it's fun, but at the same time, I think everybody wants to get that over with because they're seeing the NHL training camp like opening next week
mm-hmm.
and preseason, you know, starting around the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Like, it's going to happen fast.
Indeed. Anyone, you know, I mean, obviously we'll talk to Coach Leone about this here coming up, but you know, anything that's really that you're looking for. Obviously, we're going to be part of the broadcast tonight in the intermission stand,
yes.
and Razor call it, and you and I will be there filling time as best we can in the intermissions tonight.
They're quick intermissions, so you'll get like 12, 13 minutes of us talking about what happened and who's standing out. But I, you know, there's a few guys we've talked about. We've talked about Roseanne. We've talked about Ostlund. Obviously, Komarov and Novikov on the back end, Radim Mirka,
mm-hmm.
You know, he has been around now for a little bit, and he was doing some workouts next door at KeyBank Center with the Sabres and their regulars. He was here for Hockey Day at the ballpark. Like, he's been around.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got to start to feel comfortable and show that, look, I'm the, you know, first-round pick from last year and be in that Konstantelainis. Like, those are the guys that I think we are going to look at first and foremost, but there's always somebody that stands out at in some of those camps that that makes a difference.
I didn't follow up the goaltending thing particularly well. What do you think's going on in Devon Levi's head right now?
To be honest with you, like, I mean, if you're getting the right guidance from your team, right, your agent and whatever, because the Sabres are probably telling Devon, you are a big part of what we want to accomplish here, but we have to go through the steps, and your development is number one, and you took a big step last year. We need you to take another big step this year. And it might be frustrated. I tell the story all the time. I went back for my third year pro in Rochester, and I slammed the door in Darcy and Lindy's face, and I was mad, and I had some choice words, but that's okay to be emotional. But you also, after that, I was like, okay, now I got to be kind of understanding of the situation, and I got to do my best. I think Devin is a really good young man that would understand that his development is going through Rochester probably another year this year.
Mm-hmm. But what do you think it actually does, though, in the moment?
Well, maybe it tells him, hey, maybe I have a chance to win an opening night roster spot. Right, I think if it was Lucan and Lyon, unless one of those two really fall down and can't stop a beach ball in training camp, then you're like, you're sure. But well, now that there's a new wrinkle added to it, maybe you're thinking, hey, I could earn myself a spot. It's maybe is a small percentage chance of that, but it's still a chance. It's that one in a million chance.
Well, let's get the overview of the schedule here this weekend. Obviously, it's a huge weekend. Nice weekend here in Buffalo. We'll have Fan Fest tomorrow with the Hockey Fest Street Hockey Tournament. The Prospects Challenge began last night here at Lecom Harbor Center with the Devils' win over Columbus. Today, there are two games, including Pittsburgh and Boston this afternoon, and then the Devils and Sabres happen at 7 tonight. Columbus and Buffalo tomorrow, that's Saturday night at 7, and of course, the finale of the tournament for Buffalo is Monday. Pittsburgh will be in. It's a noon start. As mentioned, all the games are streaming on Sabres.com. And we're really looking forward to all the prospects, because this is that first look of competitive rush for many of this recent draft class to put on the jersey for the first time and really have a go. And obviously they're going to learn a lot about head coach of the Amerks, Michael Leone, who's with us. How are you, sir? Great to see you.
You guys
are
wearing shorts. Come on. We're freezing here.
Hey, as soon as I get to the rink, I'm shorts and a hoodie and a ball cap.
I love it. Yeah. Do you? So I remember... We're going to talk about hockey, I promise. But I remember Tortorella in New York. He used to wear the long-sleeve T-shirts and, like, the Under Armour stuff underneath his suits on the bench because he would get so cold. And he also wore sneakers and not the dress shoes because he wore thicker socks because he didn't want to get cold. Do you have to adjust sometimes building to building?
A little bit, especially when you go to Syracuse or Utica. But I wish we talked about it as a staff. I wish we can go quarter zip, but I don't have any – Not as many games under my belt as him, you know. So, but
you want me to talk to somebody?
You've got about got about 90 more than you did at this time last year. Yeah. So,
I hope one day someone pulls like a hoodie, you know, like football.
That'd be
great,
like Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
just don't cut the sleeves.
No. But as soon as we get to the rink, our staff is hoodie, just comfortable, you know.
Yeah, I saw Vinny Prospel's locker this summer in your office. Well, not your office. Your office is on the side. But, and he has all his suits still there, all
Vinny,
nice
Vinny's,
and proper.
Vinny's, he gets a bike ride in. Like, he's dialed. He's like, dialed. He still plays. Okay.
What should we expect tonight to get right into the heart of the hockey talk?
I mean, we like our group. Obviously, a lot of guys played in the event before. You know, if anyone watched practice, really good skating group. I'm excited to see the guys. It's one thing to talk to them at the end of the season about having a big off season, but the guys, looking at some of the testing numbers, like, the guys really had big summers, and they looked really good at practice. So excited to see the group play.
Anybody put on, like, 10, 12
pounds
of muscle? Because we are in the best shape of our life season right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, the best shape of my life.
Rosie looked different. Like, he did his upper body. Neutch. Oslin got stronger. I think Comey had a huge summer. He kind of had, you know, some of the baby fat still. He's 20 years old, but he had a big summer. He looks really lean. All of his testing numbers were really good, so we're excited to see him. And then just how he finished the season, it was unfortunate the Syracuse game to fight, but he was, that second half of the year, he was you know, a top four defenseman for us, and excited to see him.
You mentioned Victor Nurchev. I saw him this morning doing kind of work on his own,
yeah.
Going through some you know, maybe, you know, it's summertime, but it's the start. You know, you got some nagging stuff. How is he doing?
He's doing really good. He's close. It was unfortunate because he was having a career year. I think he had 22 points at the time in 33 games. But he's a rink rat, loves hockey, put on some weight. I think he was close to 10 pounds in the offseason, upper body. And if he's healthy, he's going to show well. Like, he really talented. Some of the things we introduced this year about pressuring the puck, being on top of the puck, and Noich, that's his natural instinct, even though he's just not that big, but he's really competitive player. Worked hard on his shot. You could really see it. So he's getting closer.
Okay.
How do you put together lines and pairings for an event like this? And can you give us any insight into what it may look
like
tonight?
Yeah, we actually kept the guys in the USHL, kind of made a USHL line that are going to go back and play in the USHL. And then we kept like a college line, so Kopp, Constantini, and Savage.
Yeah.
And then I'm excited to see Red. I coach him at the national program. I know a lot about him. And then in the summertime when we had the opportunity to sign him, I was really excited. And then we have the two basically lines that Nadeau's going to get a chance to play with Osland and Wahlberg, and then Rosie, Helly, and Fiddler Schultz will be together. So kind of like the guys that have played pro hockey in the top two, and then USHL line will be, I mean, you see the games are fast, competitive, so it'll be a huge adjustment for them.
I was talking with Matteo Constantini this morning, and I said, I didn't know if they had skated before I got here, and he goes, no, he goes, Leo doesn't want us to do morning skates. And
yeah.
I said, ah, we talked about that last year, about
how
they get more energy in the 3-3 and later in the week and all that. But for some of those guys that are used to getting on the ice in the morning and then play at night,
I was nervous at first, to be honest with you, because I remember last year, Lindy, and he was like, you guys aren't skating. I was like, no. And I was 36 years old at the time. I'm like, oh, like, Lindy's like, am I going to get in trouble for this? But even in Roch, telling the guys, I think if you have a reason why, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I explained to them, they wear the catapult sensors. I was really big into that in the U.S. national program and at Green Bay. And just the numbers and the science behind it. And, you know, even going back to last year in Roch, we were really good second half of games, third periods. 3-3s, we're really good. So especially with the younger kids, it's probably harder because, you know, they want to get on the ice. They'd be out there.
But they want to waste so much energy
energy.
The morning because they're so excited.
And it's another thing we worked on with Devin. Devin, that was a big thing. Like, you're off the ice. Like, we used to kick him off the ice because he'd be on the ice for an hour and 35 minutes. But I think it really helped Dev to mature, kind of get him out of his comfort zone, I guess you would say. And it worked. The guys ended up really liking it. And now there was sometimes, if we have a day off in between, we'd get on the ice in the morning. But I really like it. I think the guys like it long term, especially in the dog days when you get to February and March and you got those road trips. I think it's really beneficial.
You have four goalies here. You plan to use all of them over the three games?
Yeah. That's the plan. Rats. There's a chance it was unfortunate. He got sick this summer. Nothing terrible, but he's still fighting that off, coming back from that. So Lennon will play tonight. So I'm excited to see him. It looked like he had a big summer. His hands got quicker. I'm not a goalie guru, but talking to Shamo, it looks dropped some weight. He's in a really good place, looked really good at practice, so excited to see him.
Yeah. You mentioned Devin Levi. We're talking goaltending. For those who are just tuning in, the Sabres signed Alexander Georgiev last night to a one-year contract. The reports are that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is dealing with a tweak, and there's no timetable. Sabres don't really know what that means. So, you know, we're speculating. What does that mean for Devin? And, you know, my look for this year for Devin was take another big step in Rochester, right? Like, start the year there. But there's obviously some different things that can change.
Yeah.
So what do you think that does for Devin to say, hey, you know what, like, when a guy has a tweak, they sign somebody else, like, where do you see his headspace being at?
Yeah, I think Dev has come a long way. I didn't know him from before, but I think Dev is really, I think he took huge strides last year in his, when he came back down. I know he started the season there, but just to control what you can control and not really worried about what's on social media, what people say, or who's going to be the goalies, because everybody – It's NHL training camp. Everybody's got questions. And I think Dev's a highly competitive kid, knowing in his mind he wants to obviously play in the NHL. But I think Dev is just focused on being the best version of himself and showing in that camp. I know he had a big summer. He's a really good kid. And whatever happens, I know he's going to be prepared for that.
How do you how do you help players or, fuel the conversations? Like, with Devin, like, now everybody's talking about this potential opportunity, right? But for every player, they believe they see that opportunity. Even if it's stacked with 15 NHLers and some other pros that have played longer, every top pick has to believe that they can, get in and take advantage of an opportunity. And I'm just, you're now 1 year in to your AHL coaching career and have had that full year of having these conversations with these players and trying to keep them in the right place. What has that been like for you?
It's a lot of reflection. The summer as a coach, my first year, a lot of it is managing. Every coach has their X's and O's, but it's a lot of managing players. And, Tyson Kozak's a great example of what we're talking about. I don't think if you asked Tyson at the start of the year that he thought he was going to be an everyday. And I'm sure he believed in himself internally, but he wasn't on it. Even the Sabres, I know they liked him as a prospect, but he just kept getting better. He had a big summer. He just kept playing his role. He's not a guy that's going to score 25, 30 goals, but at the end of the game, the coach is going to play the guys he trusts, and I think he was a great example for our young players to see. When you look at the stat sheet, Cozy wasn't in the top five in scoring, but he won faceoffs. He was a great penalty killer. He was responsible, went about his business the right way, and I think it went a long way for our group, even our younger players like Noah and Helly, to they obviously have the skill, but it's about playing away from the puck once you get to the next level. The coach is playing the guys he trusts and just talking to guys about controlling what they can control. You never know what's going to happen. And, I learned a lot about that this year and just getting guys in the right headspace to...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody's timeline is different. I mean, Buffalo just signed Justin Danforth. Right. Look at him.
And you started by talking about Kozak, who I think gets forgotten in people's conversations.
For sure.
I mentioned it, I was like, oh my gosh, we haven't barely talked about him.
Well, we might have went heavy on it in July, Marty. That's the point. You know what I mean?
I think if you had the top five, I guess you would say, prospects at the start of the year who are going to be call-up guys. I don't know if Tyson
was
in.
He's not on there.
Right. He's probably not on there.
Right. And because, it's not a disrespect
no,
to him.
It's
just
not.
Because
it's not.
He got first-round pedigree in front of him.
And then he battled injuries, never played
that. The irony is that like three camps ago here in this very spot is when we started becoming fascinated with Kozak.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
the fact
we
that
we had him in an interview right here in this spot. But,
and yeah. I think it's good, too, because my brother actually played with, when I was my first year coaching, I was in the East Coast Hockey League when Justin played with my brother in Cincinnati. And he's another great example for our young players, too. Fiedler Schultz, mm-hmm. On an AHL contract, earns an NHL deal. The competitive spirit of having guys in the room all fighting to get to the NHL and everybody's road is different, I think, is really important.
So for you, you go from the program to junior. And you get those kids for like 2 years maybe a third year if like that's long. But Isaac Roseanne is talking about this as year four.
Yeah.
And so like how much of a challenge is it for you to now like talk about, players that have done 3, 4, maybe 5 years of, trying to get there.
Yeah.
Where usually in juniors or at the program, you get them for 2 years and then they move on to something else.
Yeah.
They're forced to move on
right,
to something
I
else.
Right. I think with Rosie... He had a big summer, like we talked about, gain weight. I think for him, it's the confidence and belief in himself that he could do it. You see it at Spurs when he gets called up, the playmaking ability, the skating. Now it's a belief system. Different situation, but how cool he came in here last year, and I think everybody in the stands knew he NHL player right there. So Rosie, I think, has to have that mentality to come in here. Everybody's going to be here tonight watching, so really good opportunity for him to show the hard work that he put in the summer. And you never want to say dominate the tournament, but he should.
That was your quote from 2 days ago or yesterday?
Yeah.
Like, did you see that on social media? And did you see
I try to stay off, so I try to.
Because I read it, and it says, I don't want to say yes to dominate the tournament, but dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. I try to stay off social media.
What do you think you're going to get from Consta Hellenius this year?
Yeah,
like Consta, as you saw in playoffs, he was arguably our best player. I mean, he could shoot the puck. He's got all the traits to be a 200-foot center. I'm excited to see him in the middle. Worked hard in the offseason. He looks quicker, making decisions faster, but especially out of turns to give himself more time and space. I'm really excited to see him. He's a really good hockey player, and he'll get a chance on both sides, penalty kill, power play tonight. And I know he really took what we said in the off season, because there was a lot of ups and downs at the as expected as an 18-year-old, but he really matured, loved by his teammates. So excited to see him.
Does he have a little edge to him? Like, he looks
he's bordered, not cross the line, but he's got some swagger. In a good way. I look at the Laval series. The physical, like, he's not. I actually think he's more engaged in the hockey game if he's finishing his checks early, you know, conscious in the game. And you know, he scored that goal, I think it was game four in Laval, shorthanded. We had a guy go out, so we put him on the penalty kill scores. He goes by their bench and gets under people's skin. We told him, not that he's Brad Marchand, but when he plays the game that way, where he's a little rat, it really, even in the Syracuse series, he was, I thought he played great, took huge strides. He's a really good kid. But, yeah, he's got a swagger to him.
You know how we always, you know, get into the pregame quote mode and take it one day at a time and all. I'm having a tough time doing that with Michael here, because like I have so many questions about the upcoming season, but I need to just like rein them in right now for just the
we'll
prospect challenge.
We'll get him
challenge.
Again
so,
in like
yes.
October. We'll
so
get him again.
Thank November. You for coming back no, and thanks, making guys. Me be full of questions and excitement for the coming year. Good luck tonight.
Thank you, and
we'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds good.
There he is, head coach Michael Leone of the Rochester Americans, and of course the Sabres here at Prospects Challenge as they get into battle tonight. A game you'll see on Sabres.com. The tournament schedule is up at Sabres.com, and we hope to see you at Lecom Harbor Center tonight. Puck drops just after 7 between Jersey and Buffalo. Back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Game one of the Prospects Challenge for the Sabres tonight. Noah Oslin is with us and ready to go by the sounds of it. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be back and excited to play games again.
Did you have to like change all the numbers on your sticks and on everything, because now going to 86? Like, Duffer was so excited about that. He loved it. Yeah. I love it too. But, you know, just make sure that the 3 is an 8 and everything is good.
Yeah, I had some stuff to do, but not too much, because I had most of my stuff in Rochester. So
with
that
86,
was 86,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Most of it was already done. So
good. But the Sabres stuff, you tell everybody in the locker room, change my number, everything's good. But how did that happen? Did you call the Sabres? Did you call the trainers? Did you call George or Willie and say, hey, can I go to 86?
No, I actually told Carl, the equipment manager there in Rochester. I told him after I was up here last year that I wasn't happy with 36, and then it actually came as a surprise for me. I didn't even know that he had told the Buffalo equipment manager, so I was happy when I saw the Instagram picture.
Learning breaking news.
Carl's a good guy. He is a world-class guy that's going to help. So
I texted him right away and said thank you.
I love that. Any other new developments for you in the off-season as you come in here?
No, not really.
No?
Nothing I can come up with. I'm excited to be back.
What'd you do all summer? And is that, or has that, changed at all in the last few years here as you continue to, you know, climb the ranks?
Yeah, I skated with most of the NHL guys that lives back in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. So it was a a good group there with the Nylander brothers and their dad holding the skates. So it was
Can
great.
Can he still skate? The dad?
Not great.
He was never the fastest.
No,
but
I think he had some surgery on his hips a couple years ago, so not the best.
Great hands, though.
His hands are good, yeah.
Yeah. What about, so you skated with those guys. Anything that, when you skate with, like, NHL guys and you're paying attention, is there something that stands out that you were working on?
Yeah, I think just the confidence that they have with the puck. They not happy or not afraid to make mistakes. So I try to learn from that and be confident out there.
Yeah, obviously. That's when you make a mistake and it doesn't end up the back of the net, it's a learning process. But
sure.
When it's a minus one, it's always a little bit. So is this like Prospect Challenge and going into camp a chance for you to say, I'm going to be confident, I'm not worried about making mistakes, and learn from those mistakes?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've been here for 1 year now, and I feel much more comfortable with everything, and I want to have a better camp than I had last year, so of course, yeah.
Take us through just what it's like to be at your kind of position right now, experience-wise, and recognizing how the roster is built at the moment in Buffalo, and how you try to push for the opportunity, but also stay patient in pursuit of the opportunity.
Yeah, of course, it's a tough mix. I think you always want to be up with the Sabres, but at the same time, it can be good to be back in Rochester too. But of course, I didn't come over here to play in the NHL. I want to be in the NHL one day, and that starts with the camp here.
Was there a moment last year where you had even more belief that you're that close?
Yeah, I think so. I think I got better throughout the season. I was very happy from when I got back from the injury. I think I played good most of the year, so yeah.
When Jack Quinn and J.J. Paterka were together in Rochester, it was almost like, okay, those guys are a duo, and then they went to Buffalo together. Is there somebody right now that you're like, hey, we have that chemistry? Is it Roseanne or somebody that you say, I have that chemistry, and we're going to work together to get to Buffalo, maybe even at the same time?
Yeah, I think Rosie is a good example of that. We played together for a bunch of games last year, and I think he's a good player, and we try to compete with each other to make the next step.
Are you going to play with him here in Prospect Challenge?
No, not at the start, I think.
Not at the start. Maybe, so you're going to run your own line?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. Good for the confidence.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
For sure. Yeah.
You were confident in seemingly everything you were doing, all situations. Is there an area, though, that you feel like is like a bigger role for you this year that you can take on, whether it's power play, penalty kill?
Yeah, I think I can make a more impact on the offensive side. So, yeah, both the 5-on-5 and power play, I want to be an impact player every shift out there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody that has caught your eye in practice the last couple of days of the prospects that some of the fans may see for the first time, like a Radim Mertka, for example, that just got drafted? So is there somebody that you would be like, let's say you're a scout right now, and you say, pay attention to these two or three people because they're pretty pretty special.
Yeah, I've been liking, I know it would be a Swede here, Melvin Novotny.
Yeah, Novotny,
yeah. I've been liking his game. He's a pretty big guy and skilled with the puck, so I like his game.
Okay, so we'll pay attention to Novotny.
Yeah.
No relations with Jiří Novotný that played in Buffalo years ago, but we'll pay attention to him for sure.
All right, fun stuff. What did you do all summer?
Yeah, I played a lot of golf. We're in Spain for a week, so and then much workout, so nothing more exciting than
best
that.
Best round?
74.
Oh!
Yeah. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you see Yoki got a hole in one a couple of days ago in Boston?
I didn't see that.
So it's a picture of Henry Yoki. Are you
with
the flag and the ball? So did you get close? Have you ever had a hole in one?
I had a close one, like
close
one feet away.
Oh, nice.
So that was pretty close.
Okay.
Who do you golf with typically?
Yeah, I typically golf with friends from back home. Some of them play in the SHL with your garden. So
I so obviously I played with Lundqvist. He goes back. you know, to Sweden in the summer. All I see on Instagram is him at the lake and on the boat. And did you get to spend some time on the water? Because there's a lot of great spots on the water in Sweden.
Yeah, it really is. I spent some time there. Sweden is beautiful during the summer. So, yeah, I'm happy to be back there for the summer.
Yeah, I need to go. I went there. It was October. It was the start of the season. So, you know, it was beautiful, but it gets a little kind of like here, a little colder.
Exactly.
So
it's pretty similar.
I got to go in the summer. I got to get my invitation.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come see
for
you.
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
This is the last year of an 82-game NHL season, and we're told next year that things will actually start earlier in advance of an 84-game season.
Yeah.
Does this even matter to you at this stage of your career? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about any all the rule changes that, you know, kind of come and go and get tweaked and stuff like that?
No, I don't really know much about it. I haven't thought about it at all, actually. But, it's good.
More games, the better.
The more games, the better. There's opportunity to get called up, stay a longer time, get more opportunities. So I think that would be a positive. 84 games, let's go.
Yeah.
All right, what should we expect tonight?
Yeah, you should expect a fun game and a lot of goals.
7 o'clock.
A lot of goals. Yeah. Get the over.
Yeah.
Noah, great to see you.
Yeah, you
Thank
too.
You so much.
Thank you.
There were 10 goals in the Prospects Challenge opener last night. The Devils put up 8, and the Devils are the opposition for the Sabres tonight. It's a great weekend in downtown Buffalo that includes Sabres Fan Fest tomorrow. That goes 10-6 at KeyBank Center. Player appearances, autographs, fun hockey games, activities for the kids, giveaways, and more. All the information, sabres.com/fanfest. And, of course, the Prospects Challenge rolls on from last night into tonight, well, this afternoon, actually, before the Sabres game tonight, and then action through the weekend, culminating on Monday afternoon, Buffalo and Pittsburgh with a noon start. I love the question, but more the answer. Anybody caught your eye? And he goes right to a fellow Swede in Melvin Novotny.
Obviously.
So this is amazing. No, but there's a lot of people that wouldn't know. Well, wait a minute. Who's he even talking about? And Melvin, of course, was taken in the 7th round this year by the Sabres. And I think it's super cool that that Noah was quick to point him out.
Look, I mean, anybody that gets drafted in the National Hockey League has skills, has, you know, something to offer. And even those that didn't get drafted, that get invited, that are playing junior hockey, college hockey, there's so much skills out there. So it's great to know that, okay, now my eyes are going to go to somebody different, you know, and saying, okay,
the USHL line, because he's headed for Muskegon.
That's right, the USHL line, as Coach Leone was talking about. But, yeah, I'm going to go to, and also now that I know how Coach Leone has done his lines, right, like the USHL line, there is, you know, The
NCAA line.
NCAA line, because those guys all played college. And then, obviously, the two Rochester lines. So I am going to see the dynamic and how that works. Coach Leone talked about Consolanius playing penalty kill, playing power play, playing a shift at 5-on-5. How does that, you know, impact his energy, is taking over the game type of situation? So there's definitely a lot more that, well, it's blank piece of paper that I have in front of me right now, but I'm going to fill that up really, really soon with bullet points of things I want to see.
Okay. Elite.
Your paper is filled with...
No, it's not. It's got
scribbles.
Nothing. Scribbles. Elite prospects on Melvin Novotny. The majority of Novotny's value comes from his brain. Has that scouting report ever been attached to you?
My baseball scouting report, because I didn't have really power at the bat, at the plate. I was a get on base first batter in the lineup. I didn't have a strong arm. That's why I played the second base, but I did have a solid baseball brain. That's why I keep sending you all these baseball, like, you know, social media clips of Major League Baseball players not understanding the rules, and that drives me nuts. But the same thing with hockey. Look, there's players like Noah Austin. You talk to him about, like, rule changes or whatever, and he goes, I just play. But it doesn't mean he's not a smart hockey player, but he knows what works for him, and he utilizes that. There's other players. I had to talk about Jonathan Toews yesterday. And, you know, I did some TV and radio in Canada, and they're asking, well, what about Jonathan Toews? And I'm like, well, he was never the fastest to start with. But what was Jonathan Toews so good at? Number one, his experience. He's a winner. His stepping up in big moments, but two is hockey sense and hockey IQ. Mm-hmm. His smarts, his brain, right? And for a player like Novotny, that to me is something that's very attractive in a player, to know that they think the game, they see the game, they're going to make plays that is a step and two ahead of everybody else on the ice. So,
Well, and you know that's what I loved about Oslin last year. I just think he's incredibly smart. And you match that.
A lot of the Sabres prospects have been in that same mold. Think of Roseanne as a smart hockey mm-hmm. player. Yuri Kulik as the shot, but he's a smart hockey player. Alanis can play 200-foot game. Like, a lot of the Sabres prospects have that smart brain as the foundation.
You miss those unexpected rink noises?
Are they doing the edge work around the boards right now?
Audio is giving it two thumbs down right now.
I don't even have to, turn around. I think this is, the little machine that goes off around the edge and makes sure that the ice is flat. If you play beer league or if you have kids in youth hockey or if you're playing hockey yourself, you go to rinks sometimes and there's a big dip at the boards where the puck stays and your stick gets stuck. So that's because they don't edge the ice. Right now, I think they're edging the ice to make sure it's flat all the way to the boards.
This is like when you don't want to hear the conversation and you cover your ears and go, la, la, la. This is literally me right now trying to block out.
Right here behind us.
So it's a perfect time to take a break, come back with birthdays and more on Sabres Live from Lee.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Calm Harbor Center. Stay with us if you can.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Drowning out the noise. That's what we're trying to do here on Sabres Live to close it out. From Lee Calm Harbor Center, it's a game night. The ice is being prepped in advance of Buffalo and New Jersey this evening at 7.
Pucks off the glass is the worst noise in the rink when there's a practice going because it gets very loud for a little while. But this has to be the second when they edge the ice. Mm-hmm. I do love a good Zamboni ride. You know, that noise of the Zamboni, meaning everything is nice and neat for the next group to come on.
I have a birthday for you. It's not Sabre related.
Okay.
Martin Lapointe.
Marty Lapointe.
So he's 52 today.
Yes.
Two-time Stanley Cup winner with the Red Wings in 97 98. Tough guy.
Well, he was a good player, but he could, like everybody else.
So here's the thing. That's based on where we are. We're at the Prospects Challenge.
Yes.
And we talk so often about Sabres got a bunch of first-rounders here at this year's camp, blah, blah, blah. And you hope, and look, all kinds end up making teams, right? Mm-hmm. First rounders, undrafted, all the rest of it. But Marty Lapointe was a 10th overall pick in 1991. He scored almost 200 goals, had almost 400 points, played almost 1,000 games, won two Stanley Cups.
Those are a very low number for a 10th overall pick.
But that's the thing. It's still a great pick, right?
It's a fantastic pick.
It's a great, and I just think it's a great reminder.
14-17,
It's a great reminder of it doesn't always have to be the next Art Ross Trophy winner that you take in the first round, right? Like Chris Phillips went on to become the most ever games played in the history of the Ottawa Senators, mm-hmm. and he was basically a 3-4 defenseman for most of his career and was a top pick. And I was joking because in my head I was like, it's funny, the career that Lapointe carved out, I remember him for somehow being able to continue his career after Ed Belfour.
Ooh, right between the legs.
Right between the legs in the playoffs and was like, holy cow, how did he survive this?
And in Detroit back in those days, winning cups, like it was the Brendan Shannon, obviously Steve Yzerman, but Marty Lapointe, and they had an element of toughness, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
the rivalry with the Colorado Avalanche. Now, I remember Marty Lapointe playing for the Laval Titans of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League mm-hmm. back in the days. And look, he was a goal scorer, but he had to adjust. He got drafted as a goal scorer, but had to adjust in the NHL and had a fantastic career. He is the director of player development, I believe, with the Montreal Canadiens now. So this is his time of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Like player development, prospect challenge. But happy birthday, Marty Lapointe. He was definitely one of those, like when you watch the Red Wings, you knew when Marty Lapointe was on the ice.
And then you watch how it grew with the Red Wings and the importance of Chris Draper and Kirk Maltby and Darren McCarty and all these, right? Like, it's just, that's what makes me get excited about, okay, like, I don't care if certain guys score four times tonight. Show me the intangibles. Show me how you can help this organization by being your best version of yourself as a player.
I feel shame right now. You know that, you know, you go to the box and you feel shame, yeah. like slap shot line? That, you know, I've been looking at my Sabres roster and talking about prospects that could come in. And when Coach Leone mentioned Tyson Kozak, I was like, oh my gosh. How good was he when he got called up and played at the end of the year? Mm-hmm. And how much of an impact he could have on the Sabres roster? Mostly like a fourth line, maybe third, fourth line, but he could have this year. I'm like, I feel shame that he was not even on my radar, but now he's on there, and I can't wait to see him in camp.
How quickly
we forget.
You forget.
How quickly
I didn't. It was a Sunday in Manitoba, and the Manitoba boys, Kozak and Reimer, were the dominant stories. Enjoy this weekend, folks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.